In 1992, Woody Allen left his wife Mia Farrow because he'd fallen in love with their adopted daughter, Soon Yi. Woody Allen was 57 and Soon Yi was 20. When he was asked later about the age difference, and I would say the betrayal, Woody Allen replied, "There's no logic in these things. You meet someone and you fall in love and that's that. The heart wants what the heart wants." In other words, it may not make sense, it might even be wrong. I might be hurting lots of people, but I will do whatever my heart desires. It's such a weak, wrong-headed excuse. But Woody Allen is right about one thing: the human heart is hungry and powerful, and it's often wrong and dangerous. In English, I don't know about other languages, in English, the heart is how we describe the centre of who we are. So when we want to get to the heart of the matter, that means we want to talk about what's most important to us, the core of what something involves. When two people have a conversation where they talk about deep and personal things, we say they're having a heart-to-heart. When you miss out on something that you really want, we say you're heartbroken. Your heart is broken. The heart is the centre of who we are. On the one hand, the heart can want good things, but often the Bible speaks about the heart in a different way. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, God looks at the world of Noah's time and he says, "And he saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time." Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says that the human heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Jesus said some similar things in Mark chapter 7 verse 21. He said, "For from within, out of men's hearts, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, and so on." The Bible's position is that our hearts are inclined towards evil. Our basic nature is to do what pleases ourselves. And that makes Woody Allen's quote mean something quite different, doesn't it? The heart wants what the heart wants. If the heart really is deceitful and wicked, of course he will choose selfishness and satisfaction instead of loyalty and honour. And it's that same heart problem that's going to confront the nation of Israel. Right from the beginning of his sermon, Moses was concerned about the state of Israel's heart. He knew what the heart was like. Back in chapter 4, he said, "Be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live." Or in chapter 6 he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts." They're to be central. They're to be your nature. And he told them what God's desire was for their hearts. In chapter 5, he said, God says, "Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always." That's what God wanted, that their hearts, their identity would be wanting to please God. And all the way through this sermon, Moses gives them command after command and he hammers home the truth. It's got to be more than just appearances. It's got to be more than the outside. There has to be a heart desire, a core motivation, a natural orientation to please God. Like in Deuteronomy chapter 10, this is the core message of the whole book. "Now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." What's really going to make all these laws and commands stick is if Israel can somehow change their basic nature, change their heart, so that it is in the direction of wanting to obey God in a way that will last. A bit like a magnet. I don't know if you know much about magnets. When you bring a magnet near a piece of iron, the iron will attract to the magnet and it will stick to the magnet. But as soon as you take the magnet away, then the iron isn't magnetic anymore and it won't pick anything up. It doesn't last. But if you get your piece of iron, a nail or something, and you stroke the magnet, with the nail with the magnet, take the magnet away and the iron stays magnetic. It lasts. You've changed an ordinary piece of iron into a magnet. And that's what Israel needs. They need a change of orientation, a change of heart. They need God to stroke their hearts so that their hearts will be permanently directed towards God. And as we come to chapter 29 today, Moses says it's time to make a choice. And the choice is simple. In verse 29 of chapter 29, he says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God." In other words, there are some things we will never understand about God. But the commands he gives us, that's not one of them. But the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow them. God keeps some things secret, doesn't explain everything. But there are lots of things he makes plain to us so that we can keep them. Into chapter 30, verse 11, which you've got in your notes, Moses makes it even plainer. "Now, what I'm commanding you today, it's not too difficult for you. It's not beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask who may ascend into heaven to get it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea." Verse 14, he says, "No, the word is very near to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it." He's saying, it's there, it's easy, you can understand it, and it's simple, so that you can obey it. God's done all these things for you in chapter 29. And then verse 9, here's what he says they have to do. "Carefully follow all the terms of this covenant so that you may prosper. Keep doing it." And then a bit further down in verse 18, here's where the heart comes in. "Make sure there's no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the other gods." Have to obey it, but it's got to begin in the heart, he says. The heart wants what the heart wants, and it chooses other gods. A turned away heart chooses disloyalty and disobedience. And notice what Moses says the heart is like. "Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison." He's saying the heart is a root that grows bitter poison out of it, that seeps poison out. What does that mean? Well, the human heart is never satisfied. You and I know that's true in ourselves. Our hearts are constantly hungry, looking for something else that's going to satisfy it. Something bigger, something better, something more exciting or more rewarding or more satisfying. And it's a root that will grow bitter fruit. At the very least in our own lives, the fruit of being dissatisfied and not being content, not being happy with what you have, grumbling, knowing better than God, wanting something else. And that often shows itself in idolatry, in serving, in worshipping other things and gods. But not just bitter fruit individually. For Israel, it produces bitter fruit. A heart that chases after idols produces curses from God, produces his punishment. There in verse 20, "The Lord will never be willing to forgive him. All the curses written will fall upon him." The heart that chases after other things produces bitter fruit, says Moses. Famine, disaster, the land burning with salt and sulphur. And finally, it finishes with being removed from the land. Moses predicts in verse 28 what will happen if their hearts keep following other gods. They'll be thrust into another land. Exile. God's going to remove them. And that all grows from the root of a human heart that wants other things and isn't committed to God. That's Moses' prediction. It's very depressing, but it's very accurate. But even in that prediction, there's good news. And once again, it's about their hearts. What God will do, and in chapter 30, which you have written in your yellow sheet, it begins with God's promise. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come upon you and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations. And when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Verse 1 literally says, when you turn back the heart, when you change your orientation, when God exiles you and the curses in that other land finally do their work, when it breaks you, breaks your hard heart, when you change your heart, then you need to change your orientation. When you turn back to the Lord, when you look to him, but not just turn to him, when you obey him with all your heart and soul. When you do those things, Moses promises, then God will forgive you and he'll bring you back, no matter how far away you've wandered. And that's great news for us, that God has such long arms. No matter how far we wander, that no sin is too great, no distance is too far. If God were willing to gather Israel, no matter how far they've wandered, how much more confident can we be, this side of Jesus, that he will forgive us? And it happens that way as we follow their story through history. Israel go into exile and they do turn back to God in exile, and God hears them. And he brings them back. You can read about that in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. But that's not all. There's something even more special than bringing them back into the land. God isn't just going to restore them. He's going to improve them. He's not just going to fix the symptoms. He's going to do something about the cause. He promises some heart surgery. Do you see it there in verse 6 in the yellow sheet? The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart. God's promising to do something supernatural in us, on our hearts. He's promising to cut away everything that stops us from being fully devoted to him. You see, we can't love God on our own, because the heart wants what the heart wants. It takes God doing something to change us. And when he changes us, his goal for his law will be achieved. We will love him with our heart and will really live and will obey him and live out the blessings that he's planned for us. That was a wonderful promise way back there with Moses. Hundreds of years later, the people are now in exile. They're living out the curses. And God promises another of his prophets, Ezekiel. He's not just going to do heart surgery. He's going to do a heart operation. He's going to replace their heart, a transplant. In Ezekiel chapter 36, he says, I will give you not a circumcised heart, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. I love that. That's the way God is going to circumcise hearts. He's going to put his own spirit in people. And not just a few like he did in the Old Testament, prophets and priests and kings. He's going to give his spirit to all his people. He's going to make their hearts new, make them soft and fleshy and obedient instead of hard and proud. And it will be his own spirit who moves people, who empowers and energizes them to follow him. That was the promise. But it didn't happen in Moses' time. 2000 something. Didn't happen in Ezekiel's time. 700 something BC. It didn't happen when they came back into the land. But it did come with Jesus in about 30 AD. When he lined up, when he turned up at the Jordan River and stood in line to be baptised by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist declared, I baptise you with water. But he's going to baptise you with the Holy Spirit. He'll fill you with God's promised Spirit. He will wash your hearts clean, says John the Baptist. That's an experience many of you know. I've seen the huge grins on you as you've told me about how you became Christians, about how God poured his Spirit into your hearts, how he washed away fear and guilt and doubt, and how he replaced your turned away heart with a turned back heart, with a new fleshy, fresh heart. For many of you, I've seen the peace and the assurance and the hope and the strength and the courage that he's given you. I've seen the joy in your smiles as you talk about the grace, the goodness, the gift of God's gospel. I've heard tremors in voices and tears in eyes as I hear about transformed lives. That's not you, though. That's God's work in you by his Holy Spirit. It's wonderful. It was the sort of thing the Apostle Paul loved to see in the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Some people are saying to Paul, where's your authority to teach? Where's your references? And he says, I don't need references because you Corinthians are my reference. He says, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. God had written the truth of the gospel, the truth of forgiveness and power and life and love and peace. He'd written it on their hearts. He's written it on our hearts. If you don't know that, then turn back your heart to God. He promises to restore you, to give you a new heart, to give you his Spirit, and then move you, help you, motivate you to obey him and live for him so that you can truly live. Let me finish with Moses' final plea to his people. He says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. Choose life so that you and your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. Choose life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of your Spirit. Moses longed for it. Ezekiel longed for it. And Jesus brought it through his death and resurrection. He's poured out his Spirit into our hearts and made them new and fresh. We pray for any who don't know that yet, Lord, that you would enable them to turn to you and that you would do a work in their hearts. Please take away our old, dead hearts and give us new hearts that seek to obey you for your honour and glory. Amen.